second hour of the Bible study, the Ask the Pastor Hour. Open phones for you. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You don't think I was too hard on Pastor Spomer, do you? He didn't seem to think it was. He was smiling and chuckling. Hope he's not mad at me. I'll do my best not to make Dr. Victor Belton mad at me in this hour. Dr. Belton is the pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia. Our guest here on our Ask the Pastor program. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning there, Chuck. I challenge you to make me angry.
ooh. You're pulling my chain, brother.
We don't do that easily, man.
Well, I don't know. I think if I finish one for two, I'd probably be good. But I got a subject here I want to talk to you about, and I got a feeling it's going to get your dander up a little bit.
No dander, man.
No dander?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you get shampoo for that.
Hallelujah.
505-7850-1-800-730-2727. So how's everything at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur? Yes, you know, you're down close to Atlanta, so spring must be on the doorstep.
Spring is on the doorstep, and thank the Lord we have plenty of water. We've had snow, we've had rain, we've had all kinds of things this winter. So it's been very, 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 very good for us.
So that very serious drought that you were experiencing a year or so ago, are all the effects of that all tidied up now and in good working order?
Yes, thank you for all of the prayer. Thank you for all of the prayer.
There were some folks praying for you.
Now listen, this is funny. So the drought's all finished, and there's been no problem through that. We had rain and plenty of rain early in the year, January 5th, and water got underneath of the flashing on our roof and froze and then it thawed, and so now we've got.
So you prayed for all that rain and now it's backfiring on you.
Right, you know, that's just the thing.
Oh, the Lord is good.
You know. God has a way. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Well, here's the subject that I'd like to take up with you today. The headline on this press release that I received via email says, African American leaders are outraged at attacks on Congressman Franks. This comes out of Atlanta, Georgia, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Congressman Trent Franks?
No.
The story...
Not Barney, huh?
No, it's not Barney. The story says, when U.S. Congressman Trent Franks spoke about communities where over 50% of the abortions performed are on black women, abortion proponents called him a liar, again attempting to divert the attention away from the question of the abortion industry's targeting blacks for abortion and onto mathematical analysis of whether he correctly divided the numbers. It says here, African-American leaders are outraged. Recently, America has been faced with the question of whether the abortion industry is having an adverse impact on the black community. It identifies a film here. I'm not sure if I pronounced this correctly. MAFA 21. And then the Georgia Right to Life Endangered Species billboards that went up here in recent weeks. There is a rising belief that the abortion industry is following a long-established practice of targeting the black community, locating its clinics in urban areas where blacks reside. Is this something that has gotten your attention, Dr. Belton?
Abortion, of course, always has the attention of the church in Atlanta, but not specifically as an African American. Issue that needs to be resolved, but as a social issue that needs to be addressed. That's interesting. Trent, he's out of the 2nd congressional district in Arizona.
Okay.
And so I even wonder what his constituency is relative to African American folks. Seems like he'd be able to make an issue around Native Americans, perhaps, or First Nation, but I wouldn't think he'd have that many African American folks living out in Mojave. So that's interesting. It would be good to look at who actually lives there and why he would pick that as an issue.
Well, whether, you know, not knowing his motivation, I'd rather focus on what Dr. Victor Belton thinks. Are you convinced that, well, that's not the way to put it, do you have any suspicions that the abortion industry is targeting African-American communities and in a, what's the word, in a disparate way, exercising their service, their business, in such a way as to adversely affect the African-American community?
I just don't sense that there's any targeting going on. You know, the African-American community is targeted in terms of alcohol and tobacco. And so that's what we see on billboards, for example, in our neighborhood, in many of our neighborhoods. We're targeted in terms of the lottery, for example. And so we see lottery billboards around in our neighborhood. I don't see any pro-abortion kinds of things in the media around Metro Atlanta where African American folks live. I don't see.
Are you
that.
In touch with Georgia Right to Life at all?
I'm familiar with George, with that group, yes.
Well, have you seen either personally or the pictures of the billboards that went up? The one I saw had the face of an African-American child, a small child, and then the words endangered species on the billboard. And the point of the billboard was that because the abortion industry has focused its energy on African-American communities, there are more African-American babies being aborted than any other, I don't know, demographic, I guess would be the word.
Yeah. I honestly just don't see the targeting from in that way. Are African American children an endangered species? I would say yes to that. But I would also say that children in Atlanta and African American children in the United States have a larger issue than abortion. We have the issue of a culture that is falling apart in terms of its social structures, and so consequently there is a dearth of respect for elders in our community, it seems to me. We're falling apart because our young people are not respecting the property of others, and so there are a lot of our young people who are in custody of juvenile services because they can't seem to they don't have that sense of boundary. Where our children are in danger because our educational facilities are less and less appropriate for this time and for our society. So our children aren't receiving the education that they need. So there are a number of factors that put our young people at risk. And I think they're bigger factors than the right to life issue. The abortion issue that we need to confront. As a matter of fact, that issue would go below a number of others for me.
So then how do you sort it out? Is it because if you have a pro-life position, then abortion ends the life of a baby. There's no doubt about that. We're on the same page there, are we not?
Yes, we are.
I can see where not having appropriate education facilities and things like that are all valid concerns, but those things can be fixed. Facilities can be improved. services can be improved. But once a baby is aborted, that baby is gone forever. So how do you sort it out? How does it, let me put it this way, how does it not get lost in the shuffle?
See, it seems to me that it all needs to come along in the process, and so consequently, if we are strengthening the ties that exist between families and churches and schools and businesses, that there is greater respect for human life, and there is built then into families and social structures the capacity to protect unborn children. I think that's all a part of it. If the African American community can't get to a place where it has respect for those that are currently on the planet, we certainly won't be able to get to it. And that's because of the grace of God and Jesus Christ that brings us through. Then we certainly will not be able to have any increasing level of respect for the unborn.
Well, there are some quotes here in this story that I have that are pretty direct. I don't know if you're familiar with any of these names, but the first quote I have is from a guy by the name of Dr. Johnny Hunter. He is a member of a group called LEARN, L-E-A-R-N. He says, the civil rights activists did not fight to make lynching safe, legal, and rare. They ended it. We must fight to end the ugliest form of racism, abortion. This womb lynching has caused more African-American deaths than the Klan achieved over 144 years. That's pretty strident rhetoric, I think, there, Dr. Belton.
It really is. It really is. And see, the rhetoric sometimes, it's unnerving because it goes to the... It distracts us from some of the root issues. When we get involved in the rhetoric, I listened to the presentation of a guy once who said, you know, I'm Christian and I'm demonstrably Christian and so everybody around me needs to know I'm Christian, and so I'm sitting on an airplane and if the guy sits down next to me and he's not a Christian, he's either going to be a Christian by the time we're done or he's going to have a lousy airplane ride. Well, I don't think that helps the process, and I even think that's why some folks don't want to deal with Christians is because we somehow just press ourselves to a place where we're not welcome and where we're intrusive. For that rhetoric from LEARN to go forward in such a way that it puts the lynching of African Americans in the 1900s in the same category as abortion weakens both arguments.
Well, here's Dr. Alveda King. I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. King. She is the director of African American Outreach for Priests for Life.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say this comment maybe is a little less provocative, but still quite clear. She says, and I quote, how can the dream survive if the abortion industry is allowed to continue targeting black babies in the womb? I have a dream, it is in my genes, that this 21st century bastion of racism will come down, unquote. Now she is, she brings a lot of credibility to the argument.
Yeah, yes she would. Yes she would. And does. And she is... She is in relationship with the Center for Policy in Arizona, it looks like, and so there's that's the same voice that I think is coming forward. And you know, part of, as I think about this thing, part of it is coming forward as a response to our current president's stance that would legalize partial birth abortions, and so I think since he has that, he's taken that extreme position. Folks have come out and taken an extreme position in the other, on the other side. And so my question would begin to be what's in the middle of that that we can actually work on and begin to bring us to a place where we're honoring the sanctity of life. If there's genocide going on in the black community, I am very sorry, but we are participating in it. We're as responsible for it by virtue of our habits of what we watch on television and what we support with our dollars and what we support with our energies, as the folks would be who are actually perpetrating this supposedly genocidal view. You know what I mean?
Sure.
That if the African American community kind of came together in a way around, and I put this in there because I think it's just a piece of it, around where our ancestors were in terms of the cross of Jesus and its effectiveness for saving us from the wages of sin and hell and death, I just believe that we could be on a stricter plane. Because it is our faith in Christ, or our grandparents' faith in Christ, that gave us the capacity to stand firm in the middle of all of the racism and all of the slavery and all of the things that were coming against us. And we've lost that mooring. And what folks would have us do is what the rest of our society is beginning to do, which is look to the government for a legislative answer. And the answer does not lie in additional legislation. The answer lies even now, as it did for our parents and grandparents, in a faithfulness to God, who is the true deliverer.
All right, let's change the subject here. You are the pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, but I know that you sometimes do service at a higher level, at a church body level.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a story today from the Associated Press that says a new Lutheran denomination is being formed for congregations opposed to the gay-friendly policy of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Last August, the ELCA National Assembly voted to allow pastors in committed same-sex relationships. Opponents say the new policy contradicts Scripture and have announced plans to establish the North American Lutheran Church, a new denomination that will recruit dissident congregations. Several hundred congregations are moving toward a permanent split with the ELCA, but so far that's a small portion of the 10,000 church denomination. Leaders of Lutheran Core, C-O-R-E, an activist group that led opposition to the gay clergy policy, hope to have the North American Lutheran Church up and running by August. As an observer from a distance, do you have any reaction to this news?
It's just another splintering, as it were, of the body of Christ, I think. And so I take no joy in either the ELCA decision around sexuality, or the decision of Lutheran Core to kind of split off into this North American Lutheran Church. Those dissident churches, congregations would come to the LCMS, or perhaps Wisconsin, but the sticking point would be the fact that we do not ordain women.
And there's
so
always
they
a
would have
sticking
to,
point.
They would have to start something new in order to continue doing that piece. Isn't that interesting, though, Chuck? That we can once we start making up the rules about. And judgments about what Scripture says, as opposed to taking it at its face, it just leads us into all kinds of areas where we're making all kinds of rules about all kinds of things. And so, man, wouldn't it be a much nicer thing to let Scripture interpret Scripture, and so consequently, all of those things would begin to get straightened out, wouldn't they?
So, which do you think is more providential? I mean, ordinarily, when people organize into an institution, they form a group, and eventually they, you know, become a corporation, an institution. They usually do that because they're like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
A group of people who they all hold the same values, or they all hold the same beliefs for the most part, and they want to preserve those beliefs. They come together, they form a corporation in order to preserve those beliefs. And of course, it usually follows that not too long after you form a corporation, you got a budget, right? Sooner or later,
exactly.
you're spending money on what it takes to preserve the corporation. Over time, it seems like it almost happens inevitably that people will pop up inside the institution who are not like-minded.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you have some conflict. There are dissidents, and then you begin the business of trying to sort it out. Now, which do you think is a better way to go, Pastor, to divide the institution up into two or more institutions where the people who remain are of like-mindedness, or do you think it's more important to preserve the institution and just fight it out?
You know, our fallen sinful nature, man, we'll always separate it out and fight it out, pretty much, as opposed to preserving. You remember when this whole Reformation began, Martin Luther's balance of not wanting to start a new church, but really having the heart to reform the Unus Sancti, to reform the Roman Catholic Church, and it seems to me that that's the correct way to think about disagreements in the body of Christ. Unlike some other organizations, we have a word that norms and speaks to how we are to conduct ourselves in our lives and in our lives of faith together. But once those words are broken and we've decided that we're going to go our own way, then it is that the separations begin to happen. But it's interesting, isn't it, that the separations very often happen and occur not solely on the basis of what we agree with, but as much as that, it occurs on the basis of what we disagree with. And so from that vantage point, many of the organizations that we start are flawed to begin with, because they're not based on agreement, but they're based on disagreement and factioning.
So if you had a chance to sit down with the organizers, the apparently like-minded organizers of what is now being called the North American Lutheran Church, do you think that you would you'd have anything to offer to them, or do you think you're more likely to take a position of, hey, brothers, you know, God bless you, I'll be standing over here out of the way, and you're going to observe what you're doing, active or passive for you? Doctor,
I'd be much more passive. I just believe that the Bible kind of says that men have a way of doing things that are not God's ways, and once we're on that track, and once we're started down that track, you can either stay on those tracks and get run over by the momentum of the thing that's coming, or we kind of take a place and say, let's see where it's going.
I got to interrupt you right there. We're going to break. We'll continue on the other side with Dr. Victor Belton. KFUO Radio invites you to join us for weekly Lenten worship. Every Wednesday at 11 a.m., we'll bring you a live broadcast of the worship service from Peace Lutheran Church in South St. Louis County. We encourage you to make this worship hour a part of your Lenten season. Live Lenten worship every Wednesday at 11 a.m. from your friends at KFUO. Because we are where you are.
Every hour throughout the day at KFUO Radio, we let you know about events you're being invited to at churches all around the St. Louis area. We're blessed with active congregations who are giving us opportunities for fellowship in various ways. If you're having a sausage supper or a friendship Sunday, please let us know about it. We'll place your announcement in rotation with others that we've received to be mentioned throughout the day. Send word of your event to dsummers@kfuo.org. And thanks.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
There's an edgy and provocative billboard campaign going on in the state of Georgia. Next to a picture of a black child are the words, "Black children are an endangered species." The campaign's designed to create awareness. The abortion industry targets the black community. Over three quarters of all Planned Parenthood abortion mills are located in predominantly black or Hispanic neighborhoods. A black woman is far more likely to get an abortion than a white woman. In the black community, the number of abortions is getting very close to the number of live births. The billboard campaign seems to be working. There's been quite a bit of public discussion about the points I've just mentioned. Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org if you'd like more information.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Catholics and Mormons. I'm Steve Coleman with today's Religion Roundup. The Archbishop of Chicago, Cardinal Francis George, has urged Mormons to stand with Roman Catholics in defense of traditional marriage and a religious voice in the public square.
Mormons and Catholics can come together with a great deal of agreement and work together.
George, who is president of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, addressed thousands of students, faculty, and Mormon church leaders at Brigham Young University. He denounced the backlash that Mormons suffered after California voters banned gay marriage.
When, in fact, what you seem to want politically is not given you, as happened in Proposition 8 in California, and respond by thuggery, by quasi-fascist tactics, then the common good, our whole society, stands in great jeopardy.
He said the impending recognition of gay marriage in Washington, D.C. is driving Catholic charities out of tax-funded social services. I'm Steve Coleman.
The essence of Monday on KFUO Radio is to help you sail through your responsibilities with music, but we give you more from 1 to 4 as we check in with our friend Rodney Rathman from Concordia Publishing House and Deaconess Rosie Adel from St. John Lutheran Church in Secor, Illinois. She has some perspective on the gospel reading from Sunday. And Karen Tripp, psychologist, adds some humor with her message, "God is bigger than missing cell phone chargers." The essence is from 1 to 4 Monday afternoon on KFUO Radio.
The Alzheimer's Association of St. Louis presents Know the 10 Signs, a free program to be held at DePaul Health Center in Bridgeton on Thursday, March 4th, from 9 to 11 a.m. The program addresses the need for early detection of Alzheimer's disease, dementia, and memory loss. Registration is required in advance. You may register online at www.alzstl.org.
You're listening to our Ask the Pastor Bible study. Our guest today is Dr. Victor Belton. He is pastor at Peace Lutheran Church in Decatur, Georgia, which is very close to Atlanta. Our numbers are 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. We have a caller standing by. We'll go to that call here in just a moment. But Dr. Belton, I kind of had to interrupt you there in the middle of your thought. So we can go to break. You want to finish that thought?
Yes, I'd love to. I just believe that the Bible, endangered species, black children, factions in the church, that whole thing. Here's a solution. If my people will call by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. I'll heal their land. I'm pressing prayer nationally. We're pressing prayer here locally. We're pressing prayer in our congregation, Chuck. I think that prayer answers the issues of our hearts. And if we would be a people more given to seeking God's will instead of our own desires, I think that begins to answer many of the concerns that have come forward.
The numbers again are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Miss Harris. You're on the Bible study. Thanks for holding.
Oh, hi. Pastor Belton, I was listening to you, and do you know there were extenuating circumstances surrounding the birth of Jesus?
Oh, sir.
I don't use the term African American. I'm a black woman,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I sometimes feel excluded from this African American community somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I will speak out against abortion.
Sure.
You know, I've never done so before, but I will do it today. I think that while we want to include everyone nowadays. We want to include gay people. We want to include you know, women in the pulpit,
mm-hmm.
and all of that, but I don't think that we should exclude the unborn child, because if you're not born, you're not going to be able to live to be old. You're not going to be able to go to school. You're not going to be able to do anything. You need to be born. I think
exactly.
We need to put more emphasis on the abortion issue.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Surely.
All right. Thank you for the call. Any comments, Doctor?
I agree with Ms. Harris. Absolutely. That Jesus comes that we may have life, and that more abundantly. So absolutely. If life is extinguished before we reach the planet, then the rest of the conversation is moot. Absolutely.
Well, you mentioned prayer there, and that gives me an opportunity to ask you about the Pray event, the second event of its kind, which is coming up here in a couple of weeks here. So I'm going to ask you that here in a little bit, but we do have some callers standing by. So let me take those callers, then we'll talk about this event coming up at the Crown Plaza Airport
sure.
Hotel.
Sure.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 if you'd like to join our conversation. Hi, Dave. You're on the Bible study.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, Dave.
This is a subject that's kind of passionate with me, but, you know, coming out of Protestantism,
mm-hmm.
I now kind of saw the fallacy of it. I'm actually back into the Catholic Church, what I was raised in,
mm-hmm.
and I came to find out they're not so off the wall as I thought they were, but I think that's going by, you know, Martin Luther kind of started it.
Mm-hmm.
With the Reformation, and then you have thousands upon thousands of denominations saying they go by the Bible alone, or sola scriptura.
Mm-hmm.
And it's inevitable that people cannot agree in the Bible. I mean, you might be able to read some parts of it and understand it, but it's pretty evident by looking at the religious world that we're so divided and subdivided that
mm-hmm.
it makes the church ineffective, because they look at us and say, well, you Christians can't even agree on this one book you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally came to the conclusion that coming out of a Protestant church that we went by the Bible alone, that they couldn't even come to some basic decisions in the church I belong to. So
mm-hmm.
if you don't have some kind of authority that tells you basically tradition, scripture, you know, what the scriptures teach, you have all kinds of chaos. And that's all I wanted to comment on.
All right.
I'll listen on the radio.
Thanks. Though. Thanks for the call, Dr. Belton.
Thanks for the call, Dave. You're absolutely right, and that is why the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod lifts up the scriptures and the Book of Concord as the norm and the norming norm of scripture, so that we are as a body of Christ, as a group, not all over the map in terms of how we see what Scripture says and how we interpret what Scripture says. Because of our symbols, we have a way of looking at the Word of God on which we can all agree.
What do you mean by because of our symbols?
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's a church word, isn't it? Because of our confessional writings. The Augsburg Confession and the Apology to the Augsburg Confession, Luther's Large and Small Catechism, for example, because of those upon which we all agree, we have a similar way of looking at what Scripture says on essential issues. Now, there's still some room there's a lot of room for interpretation of other things. But on the essential pieces of what it is that the Bible teaches, we have agreement because we adhere to the Scriptures and those other writings, the confessional writings, as the inspired Word of God. The Scripture as the inspired Word of God and those confessional writings as in agreement with that one inspired Word of God. And so, yeah, and you know, I'll go ahead and put it out there, Dave, but there is no man on the planet, no matter how inspired, that is going to say in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that this would be how we are all to interpret the Word of God as he sits on his seat. And regardless of how much sense it makes in terms of where society is or what the culture is currently doing, just because he spoke it, that means we'll have to do that. And that's what the Roman Catholic Church kind of does. It gives the Pope the authority to speak ex cathedra across the world regarding what a Scripture means and what it says. And another pope could come that would say, no, we disagree, and so we're saying it doesn't all have to be in Latin. Some of it can be in English, and it's still the inspired Word of God. And so we duck that kind of, or we would not subscribe to that kind of thought process in our interpretation of Scripture.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Jim, you're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Jim. I'm just going to twist the subject a little bit, but I believe my all my heart people need to study the Scriptures themselves, you know what I mean, because they can get lost by following men. But my question is to the pastor. Considering slavery, considering the Civil War, and how the South predominantly was controlled by rich landowners and stuff, which were basically Roman Catholic, then you have Jefferson Davis come in there, and he gets an edit from the Pope to fight slavery, to keep people enslaved, and et cetera, and et cetera. And at that time, when that happened, the North started losing Roman Catholic officers and stuff, because they'll follow the Pope before they'll follow the president of the country a lot of times, you know?
Sure.
But my question is, a lot of slaves back then, they were basically Protestants or Baptists. And now I find, I live in the Mason-Dixon line, and I find that there's more colored people that are adhering to the Catholic faith. Would you consider this to be because they don't understand history? They don't understand the enslavement of religions and stuff and what it did?
Right.
And is it the pastor's fault? Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Boy, he covered a lot of ground there, Dr. Belton.
Yeah, he did. Jim, thanks for the question. I think that part of what it's always important to understand is that black or African American people are not monolithic. I mean, in other words, that there will be some that will be drawn to a Roman Catholic context. There'll be some that'll be drawn to a Pentecostal context. There'll be some that are drawn to a Lutheran context. There'll be some, and so African American people are not a monolithic people that all think and experience the world in the same way. And so consequently, we'll be all over the map in terms of our religious belief and and experiences. I do not think it goes to our inability to understand slavery and its dimensions. I really think it goes to our ability to forgive that and to, despite that, align ourselves with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever context we think he's sending us.
Our numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to join our conversation here on our Ask the Pastor Hour. Dr. Belton, what is Pray 2010?
Oh, thank you for asking that, Chuck. Pray 2010 is the second gathering of Lutheran intercessors from across the nation to gather together in St. Louis on March 18th and 19th for the purposes of praying for our church and praying for our world, praying for our national leaders, praying for our church leaders, praying for the upcoming convention and the changes we're going to make on structure and governance. Cliff Bierer and I are the two pastors that are pulling it together, and we're prayerful that we'll have about 60 intercessors together with us in Atlanta on those 2 days, the March 18 and 19, to come before the Lord in prayer and intercession for our synod and our world. I think, Chuck, you've given me another topic that we need to bring, this whole abortion thing. And right to life and that whole agenda. Well, so we'll add that one.
You know, intercessor is probably one of those words that we all think we know what it means, but I'm curious as to what you mean when you use the term intercessor.
That's a great question, Chuck. By intercessor, I believe there are folks that have this burden and this burn on them that they are always in prayer. They don't know why they're always in prayer, but it's Friday afternoon and I'm praying. It's Saturday morning and I'm praying. It's 4 o'clock in the morning and I just woke up and God has me praying. That would be an intercessory kind of gift in the heart and mind of an individual. And I believe that there are individuals all over the church and all over the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod who have that gift from God of intercession. And I believe by faith that if we can pull those folks together and there is prayer going forward in with one heart and one mind and one spirit expressing thanksgiving to God and seeking God for his good pleasure, that will enhance and bless the body of Christ in the earth. So those are intercessors, those folks that are busy at prayer every day, and they're wondering in their heart of hearts, are there other intercessors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Are there other people carrying the burden for the nations like I carry this burden? And our answer is yes, and we hope that 60 of them will gather with us in St. Louis March 18 and 19.
So
the registration fee is $89. It's going to include breaks and a lunch and a dinner, and all materials will be included. There'll be one night at the Crown Plaza. The rate for one night's lodging is $67. And so it's a really inexpensive way to meet some other people so that we can extend the network of prayer throughout the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
So I'm a little confused here. It sounds like the event is for 60 intercessors, but it also sounds like it's for anybody who's listening to us who might want to participate.
Anyone who's listening can participate, but please know that this is not, it's not a series on prayer. We're not going to teach prayer. We're not going to teach how to pray. We won't do a lot of education around prayer. We will gather for that 24 hours to pray. And so if that's not the mindset that folks bring to it, then I think the event will get kind of long for people, because after the first 45 minutes or hour and a half, folks will say, you're still praying? Well, yeah. There's no class. Well, no class. We're praying.
Now, the dictionary defines the word intercede as to act or interpose in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So if the manly man, Dr. Victor Belton, happened to come upon a thug who was trying to wrestle a purse away from a helpless woman, you might intercede on her behalf and protect her from that thug.
Yes.
How does that translate into prayer? Most folks think of prayer as me talking to God,
mm-hmm.
and not necessarily interceding on behalf of somebody.
Well, Chuck, that's a great, great question. We just talked about abortion and the rights of the unborn.
Right.
Yeah. The unborn are at war right now with the enemy, who is trying to convince folks that it's just a blob of cells. They need for us to be interceding on their behalf. The Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, is at war right now because of the way that our structure has been built upon itself to the place where we're not sure who has the authority to do what. We're at war right now, and we need the gift of intercession. We need to be praying for one another. And here's the thing. Scripture, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the spirits of wickedness in the heavenly realm. The warfare that we have in this earth will not be resolved primarily through legislation. It won't be resolved in workshops. It won't be resolved because we have a task force, a blue ribbon task force, to look at it. If we are not fighting the battle in the heavenly realm in prayer before the throne of God, we cannot be successful.
Dr. Belton, it's called Pray 2010. It's scheduled mm-hmm. for March 18th and 19th at the Crown Plaza Airport Hotel in St. Louis. You've given us some good details here, but if somebody doesn't, you know, they're driving and they can't remember all this, do you have a go-to resource here where they could call or email or website in order to get involved?
If you're on Facebook, we have a site that's Pray 2009. We haven't upgraded to 2010 yet, but that site would give you the individual pieces, the registration form, and that kind of thing. We have in the reporter online, which is the Lutheran periodical. We have our list of. We have an article that would list out the website where one can go and register. It'll give you Cliff Beera's name and his particulars, along with my name and particulars. And so those would be the places where you can go to access.
I think if you Google LCMS reporter, you can get there.
Yes.
Pray 2010 is the thing. If you just Google Pray 2010, I think you'll get there.
Pray 2010 might get you there.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 if you'd like to join us here in the minutes that remain here on our Ask the Pastor conversation. Hi, Rick, you're on the Bible study.
Not only a hearer of the word, but a doer
Amen.
Of the word. If a man sees to do good to his brother and doesn't, that is sin.
Yes.
Sometimes, a lot of the time, we are the answer to our own prayers that we send up to God.
Yes.
If we would just get up and move. And Dr. Belton, when Mr. Radford mentions your name, that you're going to be on the Bible study or ask the pastor, there are several men that I really enjoy hearing that they're going to be on the program. You, sir, or one of them.
Amen. Thank you.
And with, you know, the amount of water that caused the damage to the roof, with the summertime air conditioning woes, you're think of it as more as God's refining fire.
Amen.
And not a fire from the enemy.
Amen.
Because he cannot touch you and your congregation the way he would like to.
Amen.
Thank you, Rick.
Yes.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Any comments, Dr. Belton?
Absolutely so. Rick, we see it as a blessing. God has grown our ministry despite all of that, and I think his point has been, you know what, you rely on me. You don't rely on a building. You don't rely on air conditioning. You don't rely on heating. You don't rely on your comfort level. All of your hope and all of your reliance is in me. And we say, yea, come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Here's another caller at 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Hi, Jim. You're on the Bible study.
Good morning, Pastor Belton. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning.
I'd just like to have a little clearance on the clarifying on the location of Pray 2010.
Amen. We will be at the Crown Plaza Hotel on March 18 and 19. And indeed, if you do Google lcms.org, you will see Reporter Online, and it will give the headline says Second Pray Event Set for March.
Is that the hotel that is just west of the airport, Dr. Belton?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So okay. if you go 70 west past the airport and get to Lindbergh
and 70.
It's right there.
Yeah, I thought at first Pastor Belton said it was in Atlanta.
No.
But
no,
it is in St. Louis. Okay.
Now, if I communicated that, I apologize.
No problem.
All right,
I plan to be there. Thank you, gentlemen.
Excellent.
Glad to have you there, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
All right. Let's try to squeeze in one more call here. Hi, James. You're on the Bible study. Good morning.
God bless you, Pastor. May your tribe increase. I really enjoy when you come on the Bible study.
God bless. Thank you, sir.
We may not have time, and maybe I'll get a chance to speak with you in person about it, but I'd like for you to give me an application and understanding of Ephesians chapter 4, 13 through 16, and how this might help me in my understanding and centering me when, I guess, political entities solicit, you know, support against different things like gay marriage and abortion.
Ephesians 4:13, you said?
13 through 16.
All right, let's talk about it.
And how those things can center you when your community is being solicited for support against different issues such as that.
Let me read that very quickly here because we have just very little time left. Verse 13 actually starts in the middle of a sentence. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. You got about a minute, Doctor.
Amen. Listen, can't do that really without doing 11. Until we all reach the unity of the faith. Well, who's going to help bring us there? Well, it's the apostolic, it's the prophetic, it's the evangelist, it's the pastor, it's the teacher. Those gifts given by God, given by the Holy Spirit, that are to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You know, if we have those who are moving apostolically in the earth, then we have people who are listening and speaking against those things in the earth that are coming against both the church and our culture. If we have folks speaking prophetically in the earth, we have folks speaking the word of God in such a way that it brings the unity of the faith to the fore. Evangelists, pastors, teachers, part of the problem that the church experiences today is that we've dumped so much into the pastoral and we have almost ignored the apostolic, prophetic, evangelist and the teacher. And we need to use all of those gifts because it's all of those gifts then that will enable us to reach the unity of the faith and enable us not to be tossed to and fro, but to stand when those contrary things begin to come against us.
Amen. Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome, my friend. Thank you.
Until we speak again, God's blessings on your event.
Thank you.
All righty.
All righty. Peace.
Dr. Victor Belton, Peace Lutheran Church, Decatur, Georgia. Tomorrow, Acts chapter 7, verses 1 through 29, with our friend up in Waltz, Michigan, Pastor Kurt Taylor.
...of the Bible study, please visit the audio archive section of our homepage. That's kfuo.org. The Bible study is a broadcast service of Worldwide KFUO.